Today, the Royal Commission into Defence and Veteran Suicide began in Brisbane. Three commissioners are led by former New South Wales Deputy Police Commissioner Nick Caldas.
On behalf of the nation, the establishment of this Royal Commission requires that we examine, understand and expose all systemic issues and risk factors concerning defence and veteran deaths by suicide, and that we identify any and all actions necessary to address these issues and risks, so that we may reduce and prevent future deaths. The significance and magnitude of this work is not lost on us. We know that the defence and veteran community will be watching closely, and rightly so. We're honoured and humbled by the gravity of the task ahead, and we're focused on the opportunities for change and healing.
You will have heard earlier today, I think, that estimates from the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare point to the fact that probably more than 1,200 former and serving ADF personnel died by suicide in the last two decades. And so for the search for answers begins. The first participants will give their evidence on Monday. And now, if the commission is close to your heart, I wonder if you'll tell me what your expectations are of it. 1300 222 720 or send a text 0437 922 720. We've gone to Hayley Edwards to have a yarn this afternoon. Hayley served as a medic in the Royal Australian Air Force from 1999 until 2004 and is now the Deputy Mayor of the City of Rockingham. Hayley, welcome to Drive.
Good afternoon, Jeff, and good afternoon to all your listeners. Good afternoon to all your listeners.
Thanks for joining me this afternoon. What does this Royal Commission mean to a former member of our Defence Force?
Yeah, well, it's obviously very welcomed. The death by suicide of any ADF member or veteran is tragic for the family and obviously the Australian wider community. But at the same token, since 2007, there have been numerous inquiries into mental health, suicide and self-harm. So let this be the inquiry into ADF veteran suicide that ends the need for any future inquiries.
I've had a really strong sense of that today, Hayley. The appreciation that a Royal Commission is a very, very significant inquiry, but also a sense of fatigue that there's been quite a lot of talk and those death rates continue to climb.
Absolutely, Jeff. And I'm personally passionate about this. I have firsthand experience of a colleague of mine taking her own life whilst in service in 2002. So this is something that's extremely close to my heart. And thinking of just the statistics, but basically from 2001 to 2018, with the rate of suicide of men between these years was 21% higher for ex-serving men compared to men within the broader Australian community and 127% higher among ex-serving women.
Yeah. Hayley, there will be expert opinion as to why this has happened, but you have an insider's perspective, and I'm sorry, you also have the perspective of someone who lost someone who was important to you. What are some of the reasons why service personnel either find an adjustment to Civvy Street so difficult? Is it the nature of the work they do? Is it the way in which they are prepared to be returned to the community? Are they getting the appropriate counselling and support? What do you think has been some of the contributing factors?
That's a great question. And there has been independent inquiries into a lot of the things that you just mentioned. Firstly, transitioning back into civilian life, I know, is very difficult for a lot of ex-service personnel. Also, the fact that, you know, you might come home and transition well for the first 2, 3, 5 years, but 10, 15 years down the track, obviously with PTSD being prevalent amongst our ex-service personnel, that can come and give you a nasty little bite. So, you know, things aren't always evident early on when you leave the Defence Force. Sometimes it takes years and years of living through that trauma to come back and raise its ugly head.
Yeah.
So everything that you mentioned there has to be holistic from entry into the services to when you're discharged, basically for the rest of your life. I think ADF personnel need support through that whole transition holistically.
I was just looking up at a monitor where this story is being played on ABC News 24, and there was a dad holding up a homemade poster that said, DVA killed my son, the Department of Veteran Affairs killed my son. And I don't know that man's story, but I know what he's talking about. And that was this belief that we performed these tasks on behalf of the nation, as you asked us to do. But when it came to get help after we had done what we had been told to do, all too often service people felt that hands were washed.
Absolutely. And in 2019, there was an independent review into service personnel that struggled with DVA extensively to try and get recognition for their experience. And it was so hard. Unfortunately, this member took their own lives. And that the impact on that, to think that you've served your country, you are so proud to serve your country, and then after the fact you're trying to get assistance, and it is just like brick wall after brick wall. We need to do more for our service personnel. It's just it's that black and white.
Otherwise no one will want to go and serve this country.
Well, that's so true. People have even asked me. I had not the greatest experience. Don't get me wrong, I'm very, very proud that I serve my country. But if I thought about my son or my daughter, you know, wanting to join the services now, I have that little sinking feeling in my tummy, because I know the path that you are thrown into in military life is out of your control. So you can be chucked into any situation. And after the fact, the ripple effects, I suppose, of those scenarios can have impacts for the rest of your life. And acknowledging that is something that people really need to think about. And that needs to be really thought about in the recruitment process, making sure that people are fully aware of what they're getting themselves into.
I know. And we've often talked about that. If you've just come on board, I'm having a really interesting chat with a really interesting Hayley Edwards, a veteran, now the deputy mayor at the city of Rockingham. We're talking about the commencement of the Veteran Suicide Royal Commission, rather ceremonial today. The testimony begins on Monday. But just as you talked about, if I had a son or daughter who was thinking of doing that, they would need to know that they may suddenly find themselves thrown into this situation. What they need most, would you think, Hayley, is a certain sense of reassurance that says, and after this finishes, we have your back. After this finishes, we support you in whatever the transition is to civilian life, or if there are difficulties that you face, you know that we are there to provide you with the medical and psychological assistance that you need.
Absolutely. And not only just for themselves, but for families. Families of veterans suffer greatly from their loved one coming back and transitioning into civilian life, and they're not the same people. So we all also need to acknowledge the pain and suffering that families face. You know, if your son or daughter got enlisted, you'd just be so proud, and then they come back a different person. It's just absolutely heartbreaking. And I think Commissioner Dr. Peggy Brown summed it up perfectly in her opening address today, with her final comments being that Royal Commission must focus on two things in particular, which is accountability and compassion. And I think that's really, really important with this Royal Commission.
May I ask you, in your dual capacities as a veteran, now the Deputy Mayor of the City of Rockingham, how's your health and happiness, Hayley?
I'm very happy and healthy and balanced, and I've got I'm very blessed and lucky to live in this beautiful city, Rockingham, and I have healthy kids and a great partner, so I'm fine. I'm 40 years old. Who's to say what will happen if I'm 60 or 65? You can't really, I suppose, predict those things. I was involved in the Bali bombings in 2002, and that was quite a experience. So who knows what will happen in the future? But now I'm happy, healthy, and very balanced and fit and active. So I have no complaints. I'm very, very blessed.
Yeah, but you understand the significance of traumatic moment, I would suggest.
Yeah, absolutely. Like with any traumatic event, you don't know if it will ever resurface again. So I think that's very important as well. So as I said, touched on before, someone may, you know, exit the military and be fine for 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, 10 years, and then all of a sudden that these traumatic experiences are coming up, and we need to be able to support our veterans, not get them to jump through hoops and hit brick walls and have all of these documentation that is so complex and complicated to fill out. We need to do more, make it a lot easier for them to assist, to get assistance when required.
Really good to speak to you today. Thank you for being on the program.
Thanks so much, Jeff.